moving on, last week we finished up with unity in the church, and I'm hoping and praying for a reality of that as we follow the scriptures with regards to unity. Okay, today we're moving on to a new topic this week and next week, a giving assembly. Okay, a giving assembly. And I think many of us would have heard some of the principles, but the Lord has opened eyes with regards to giving for myself, and hopefully everyone will be able to learn the same, okay? So let's have a word of prayer, then after that we'll go straight in and learn God's word today. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning once again. Lord, we know in terms of the New Testament, in terms of your grace, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, of gathering every first day of the week to prepare our hearts for the rest of the week. Lord, we thank you that this is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ every week. And we are thankful, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. We don't serve a dead Savior. We don't serve a philosophy. We don't serve a human person, Lord, but we serve the risen Savior, the God of the universe, the King of this universe. And also, Lord, thankfully, the Savior of our lives. We pray, Lord, today as we hear your word once again, that, Lord, we will learn the principles that will guide us in our daily living. And Father, may we have a heart and a mind to understand what you have to say. And so, Lord, even as we learn your word, may we practice it practically as part of the entire assembly and also individually as well, Lord, that we might bring glory and honor to you first above all. We pray for those who are still on the way, bring them quickly. For those who are not feeling well, I pray that you raise them quickly, strengthen them as well, so that they might be able to focus on thy word. We thank you for this Ting Wei girl. I pray, Lord, that she might find the joy of being in God's among God's people, and also, Lord, to find salvation in Christ. We thank you for what you're going to do now. Speak to us in a special way in this lesson, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, begin by asking ourselves, what's the definition of giving? Okay, maybe we just start off by just briefly sharing. How would you define giving? Give. What do you mean by give? What do you mean by give? When you give someone, or give to God, or give. What do you mean by give? What's the meaning of give? Anyone? Okay, maybe we start with this side. What's the meaning of give? Give. Give. Okay, meaning to sacrifice or give to someone not expecting anything in return. Okay. Okay. Any others? Any others? Give itself. The word give itself. Okay. Offering out of a willing heart. Okay. All right. Okay. What about this side? What is sacrifice, offering our willing heart? What about this side? What do you mean? You never explain the word give. Again? Sorry? Wait, hang on. Okay. Ever? Something that you have, you pass on to others, Rajun? Okay, showing of our love. Okay. We have different answers, but actually it's quite simple. Giving simply means transferring of authority. I have this thing now, it belongs to me. I'm giving it to you. Okay, of course the layers of sacrifice and all that will come later to actually define the meaning of the word give. Does that make sense? So it's not wrong, okay? But giving simply is, I got it from Webster, to bestow, to pass or transfer the title of one thing to another person without asking anything in return. So that means if I give this piece of paper to you, that means that piece of paper belongs to you already. It no longer belongs to me. Does it mean the transferring of the title? Okay? I think this is quite important for our understanding of give. Okay, let's go through some principles of giving. Some of this we already know, but I want to actually just go through this. And there's one very interesting lesson I learned as I was preparing this as well. Let's take the verses. Turn to Psalms 50, verse 10 to 12. Okay, everything belongs to God. Okay, I think we all know that, but let's look at the verse that God might teach us more from there, right? Psalm 50, verse 10 to 12. Okay, Psalm 50, and verse 12, 50, verse 10 to 12. Let's read together the three verses. Ready? Ready? One, two, go. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. God says everything belongs to him. Okay, even if God is hungry, he's not going to let you know. Why? Because he doesn't have to. Everything belongs to him. Okay, you know, the implication of that is what we have also belongs to him. Who we are belongs to him. Okay, our possessions, afterwards we talk about our possessions also belong. Everything in this world belongs to God. Okay, our thinking belongs to God. Our mind, our eyes, everything that we have, even the very breath we have, belongs to God. Okay, so number one, we need to understand this principle. Let's turn to two verses. Maybe have Sister Jamie, you can turn Deuteronomy 8:18. Edward, Hosea chapter 2 and verse 8. Okay, Okay, we can all turn there if you want. Deuteronomy 8:18. So Jamie, loud and clear. Okay, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God reminded Moses to tell the people that when you go into the promised land and when you have all these rich and wonderful things, Moses actually told the people, remember it is God who brought you there, okay? And remember that it is God who gives you the basis to get the wealth. What is that? Giveth you power to get wealth. What power has the idea of giving you your health, give you your ability to get the wealth? Many of us work, some of us study, you realize it is God that gives you the health to be able to study, God who gives you the health to be able to work so that you can get the money, okay? And what's the purpose? So that God may establish his covenant. Now, this has to do with the Mosaic covenant, but in principle, it fulfills God's promise to us that he will take care of us, amen? That God will give us the health to work. So which means that every time you work, we actually have to thank God, God, thank you for health, thank you I'm able to walk. Thank you, I'm able to do the things I need to do because it is you who gave me the health so that I can actually get the wealth to support my family, to support your work. All right. So God, in principle, is establishing his promise to us that he will take care of us. Okay. So that's number two. God gave us all things. Okay. Hosea chapter 2, verse 8. Now, the interesting thing about this verse is God was telling Hosea to remind the Israelites that they forgot that it was God who gave us the corn and the wine and oil and was the one who multiplied their silver and gold. And you know the sad thing about the children of Israel in this verse is after God has given to them, you know what they do? They use what God has given to them for the world, for Baal. And that's a sad thing to God. And God actually had to remind these people, they forgot that it is I. Christians, let us never forget that whatever we have belongs to God, and whatever God has given to us, we are to use it for him, all right? Now, using it for him means we use it to fulfill the duties that he has given to us, like in family, in whatever we have, never to use what we have, our abilities, for the things of this world, all right? Okay, let's turn to two more verses, Matthew 5, verse 45. Matthew 5, verse 45. Just want to add another layer. When God actually gives us, he gives us freely of his love, okay? And he teaches us to do the same. Matthew 5, 44 and 45. I'll just read there. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he send rain on the just and the unjust. You know the principle that God teaches us here, when we give something, we don't give on the basis of who the person, we give on the basis of what they need, irregardless of who they are. That is God's giving. Amen? God reigns on those people who love him, and God reigns on those people who hate him. And that's something that sometimes is very hard for us to learn. But when we give something, we give based on the need, not on the person. Okay, that's what this particular passage. He actually talks about God in heaven being kind. Let's turn to another verse, Luke 6, 4:35. It actually explains further this verse, Luke 6, 35. When God gives, he gives based on what we need. And sometimes as parents, I think we will understand that, okay, whereby our children need something, no matter what they've done, we will still provide for them. Sometimes even though we don't have the means, we will go and find the means because our children have the need. Luke 6:35. Okay. Let's read together. Ready? Luke 6:35. Ready? 1, 2, go. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful, and to the evil. That is so hard for a Christian. But you know what? If we want to be like God, God gives. Okay? He says what? To lend, hoping for nothing again, and so that your reward shall be great, and you will be called the children of the highest. Why? Because when you give, even to the unkind, we reflect the character of God. Because here Jesus says, he is kind unto the unthankful, and also to those who are evil, those people who will move out of the way, refusing to follow God, God is still kind to them. Okay? So God gave us all things. And I think the principle we can add there, sometimes we don't deserve what God gives us, God still gives it to us because we need it. All right? Let's turn to, point number three. Number one is everything belongs to God. God gave us all things. Giving is a New Testament principle. Let's turn to a few verses. Jeremiah, Matthew 5:42. Timothy Toriano, Matthew 10, verse 8. Brother June, Luke 6:38. Luke 12:33. Joanna, Acts 20:35. Lydia, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. If, Sir Shaoling, then 2 Corinthians 9:7. And then Sir Agnes, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. Okay? You just read those verses. Ready? Matthew 5:42. Give to him that asketh thee. Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely ye have received, freely give. Okay? Matthew 19, 21. Sorry, Matthew 19:21. Oh, 6:38, sorry. Okay, Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given to you. And the last part is, for with the same measure you give, based on that measure, it will be given to you. How much we give is how much we will get back. Okay, Luke 6:38, but give. Okay, the principle is give. Luke 12:33. Okay, the principle Jesus told the apostles, sell that you have and give alms. Give alms. The idea of alms means give to those who need. Give to the poor. Acts 20 verse 35. If you study the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John Gospel, you will find Jesus never mentioned this. Jesus didn't say this in the Gospels, but in the book of Acts, Paul probably got it directly from the Lord Jesus. That's why he put it in. And Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, it's more blessed to give. You'll be happier if you give more than you receive. Of course, it's good to receive as well. If we focus on self, we'll always be happy when we receive, but don't give. But you know what? Genuine happiness, according to this verse, will be when we give more than we receive. Okay? It reflects the character of God as well. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Okay? Let every one of you lay by him and so on. Prepare yourself to give. I think we know that. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Okay? As you purpose in your heart, so let you give. Okay? Give. Again, the last one, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. Okay, generally, the principle here we're talking about is giving is a New Testament principle, which leads me to a very obvious conclusion that tithing is not in the New Testament. It's not for the New Testament church. Okay, I know many people, there will be principle of giving the 10%. That's not a problem. We talked about that before. But you know what? I think in the age of grace, we give because we love. And God wants us to give according to that principle strongly. But some people say, no, Rajani, we need a principle. Okay, fine. You can use 10%, that's fine. All right. But the principle here, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. The principle is we give according to what we have. That's what he says here. So which means that, and it's consistent with the principle of God. God only expects what we have. God doesn't expect what we don't have. But it's interesting, in the Macedonian church, in 2 Corinthians 8, they gave even that which they don't have. In other words, some of them don't have, but they actually sell their houses so they can give. They actually sell something so that they can give. Actually, they still have, it's just that they have to translate it into a different form. All right? Maybe they have a house, they sell it, change it into money, then they give that. All right? So, the principle in the New Testament is giving. Okay? The next point in 2 Corinthians 8, let's turn there, right? We'll be hovering around there, we'll be staying around the 2 Corinthians 8, 9 region. But 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, we just read that. But I'll read it today again. Giving really starts from the heart. Giving really starts from the heart. You know, we can give. How many of you, I think all of us in our, those who are under employment, you probably have a CDAC, right? You know, CDAC, Chinese Development Assistance Fund, or something like that. Everyone is supposed to give $1. Just by default. One. Do you have? Maybe in the private companies, may not have, but in the government institutions, like hospitals, wherever, they will deduct $1 from everyone. Okay? So $1 times $500,000 is $500,000 for the charities, the Chinese whatever fund. Okay? And so you give. And sometimes you give because you have to. You've got no choice. You know, they just deduct. But genuine giving to a Christian really begins with the heart. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. Okay, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5. And it's interesting because of how Paul actually, let me just read from verse 1 and then you hear what Paul was trying to teach the Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, we do you to know, the word "we" means to know, of how much grace God has given to the churches of Macedonia. How that in the great trial of affliction, their abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, what does that mean? As they were going through a lot of trials, yet their willingness to give was so overly abundant. And so Paul says, look, I want you to just look at the grace that God has given to these churches. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. That's what I mean just now when they said, these Macedonian Christians didn't just give. God expects us to give what we have. But these Christians are giving what they don't have, beyond their power. They were willing of themselves, begging us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. In other words, Paul is a very sensitive person. When he goes to a place and the place is very poor, he will say, no, you keep it for yourself. You know what the Macedonian church did? No, please take it from us. We really want to give to you. All right? And the Bible says here, Paul says, praying with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. In other words, their heart was so overwhelming, they wouldn't take no for an answer. Even though they know as they give, they may not have enough to eat. Even though when they give, they may not have enough anymore. But yet, say, please, we want you to take. It shows their love for the apostle, right? But you know what? Look at verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. It's not just that they love the apostle, they love God. Does that make sense? If you look at how the Macedonian churches gave, they didn't give just because they loved the Apostle Paul and begged him to, because they love God. And this is one principle of giving. When the Macedonian church loved God so much, they will love everything God loves. They love a few things. Number one, they love God. Number two, they love the Apostle. And notice also verse 5, they love the Christians. Verse 4, bring us with much entreaty that we will receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They love the Christians. Not just the apostle, not just God, but the Christians. And you know what? Later on, he talks about loving the word as work as well. That's why they wanted to be part and parcel. But you know what? Down the bottom line, giving really starts from the heart. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. The Bible says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. When you make a decision to give something, just give it. The question I asked before, I used to ask, why purpose in your heart, not in your mind? Because money is an accounting term. It's usually used for accounting. Why does God say, what does Paul say, purpose in your heart and not purpose in your mind or your will, your decision? Why? Yes, Marie is laughing. She always remembers what? Sorry? Because if we calculate in the mind, we heart pain. I give 100. That means I need to pay my PUB bill. Not PUB, sorry. SP bill, Singapore Power. Then this insurance. But then that phone bill. But then that dinner bill, and then that summon that just came from my friend because I'm going, maybe 95 lah, give 95. You know, sometimes when we give, I'm sure it may have happened to some of us, we just decide, Lord, I'm just going to give this amount. Then someone say, you sure not, you give so much. No one have ever stopped us when we give very little, but you know what, when we give too much. But you know what, if God impresses on our heart to give that amount, that's what it means. Then you know sometimes in your heart when you see in a survey and say, God, I think I want to give $50. And you are a student that gets 10 cents a day kind of thing. You know? It's like, well, and that's what faith giving is all about. But here what Paul is saying here, when you purpose in your heart, just give whatever you purpose. If you purpose $10, give $10. If you purpose $1,000, give $1,000. You know, sometimes we may make decisions, I want to give this much. Our heart is very willing to give this much. But then when you look at the accounts, it's then we start to adjust. Do you know what Paul is saying? Once you've decided in your heart and that you want to give that amount, ask God for grace to fix on the amount, okay? And this is something that God has to work through in our hearts by faith. Because it could be that the Holy Spirit wanted us to learn to live by faith of the giving. And sometimes it's hard. I know people give lots, and then after that, wow, I really need to trust God on this. But you know what? It's a good exercise to go through whereby we learn actually to trust God. And you'll be surprised how God will provide the needs. He may provide this week, next week, 1 month later, 2 months later. I think I shared before about how God, on impression, I gave an amount. After that, next day I received a phone call that the church is going to support us for the next 2 years. And the amount they're going to support us is at least 6 or 7 times more that I'm receiving in this amount that I give. God is good. You know, and the impression was really tough. We're going through a hard time. But, you know, God says we give. But after that, God actually put back 6 to 7 times more than what we have given. God always gives back to us when we are willing to trust Him to give. Amen. And I hope even as our church, that's why when we understand giving really starts from the heart. Giving really starts from the heart. That when we give to a brethren, we give to a work, we give to whoever, we give because we love God and give because we love who God loves. All right? Now, any questions? The next one is very interesting. Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 11, 37. Luke 11, 37. And I'll give you the point, giving cleans up the heart. What? Yeah, it was very interesting. As I was reading through and thinking through, Luke chapter 11, verse 37. Let me just read that. And this is a discourse, an interaction between Jesus and the Pharisees. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 37, the Bible says, blessed... Hang on. Luke. Is it Luke 11? I'm doing Luke 11. Oh, sorry, my page was folded, so I was looking at something else. Luke 37, correct. And as he spake, as Jesus was speaking, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. So a Pharisee, if you cross-reference, it's probably Simon the Pharisee, besought him to dine with him, eat with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. So Jesus didn't ostracize even the religious leaders. Okay, so he was very open. Verse 30, and when the Pharisees saw it, he marveled that he had not washed before dinner. Did Jesus forget? To the Pharisee, it becomes legalistic. Okay? In other words, you have sinned if you have not washed your hands before eating. Okay? This is, whoa, hey, Jesus the rabbi didn't wash his hands. Look at verse 39. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Can you imagine you are invited to a dinner, and then you are the host of the dinner, and then you look at the guest, and maybe you have a heart. I'm going to wash. Then the guest look at you. You are a hypocrite. It's like, but this was the Lord Jesus, all right? So we need to be very careful when we're invited for dinner that we don't say things like this, all right? We need to be a little bit more courteous. But you know what? Unless the Lord really impresses on your heart, okay? But be very careful. Be very courteous. But Jesus was trying to teach his Pharisees something. Look at verse 40. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is outside made that which is also within? So the Pharisees were very on about making sure their outside is nice and wonderful, but they don't talk about their heart. But interestingly, look at verse 41. What did Jesus tell the Pharisees to do? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and then, look, behold, then all things are then clean unto you. The point I put in here is giving cleans up the heart. Now think through, what? It was a hypocrisy of the Pharisees, right? But then Jesus said, give out of the things that you have, and then you'll begin to see things clearly, and all things will be clean to you. Do you know what Jesus is trying to drive at? If you look at the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, the Lord was teaching a very gracious lesson, look. And he gave a practical thing for them to do. You know, sometimes you go into the thinking and the discussion of how you should. Jesus, no, you do. You know what Jesus told the Pharisees to do? You give. You give of the things you have. You know why? Because giving things of the other person. The Pharisees were always thinking about themselves, right? Covetous, for pretense they make long prayers to then devour widows' houses. Remember Matthew 23? How they would pray when the widow would pay him, and then there's a funeral, and the Pharisees would go and pray, and then they get paid. And the Pharisees were always doing that. But Jesus was saying, look, you guys on the outside look very good, but hey, but rather give alms of that which you have. And then you can see things properly. And then you will begin to realize it's not all about you. That's why I say giving cleans up the heart. Okay? Any question? Any question? And that's why if you look at what Jesus is saying here, and it's consistent, that's why Jesus is more blessed to give than to receive. In the example of God, God gave His own Son. Can you imagine that? God gave His own Son, denying how He felt. Remember how Jesus struggled at the Garden of Gethsemane? How much He said, Lord, if Thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will but Thine be done. Can I say this? As much as Jesus struggled, God the Father probably also struggled. I'm not too sure. Right? I'm just thinking. But just as someone who perhaps have a precious thing, there was precious thing that's so precious, and it's the only thing he has, and then he's actually willing to part with the precious thing and to give it to someone else. So God actually takes his most precious thing, which is what? His own son. Can you see the perfect love of God in that act of giving his son? That's why Jesus was able to teach the Pharisees, look, you guys are so full of yourself. You think that you are clean on the outside. But Jesus says, didn't he who make the outside clean also make the inside? So in order for you to be outside clean and inside clean, you know what Jesus said? Give. Because give means they've got to look at their bank account, what they have. Really, I must give. And the Bible says, because Jesus actually taught them, but rather give alms of those things as ye have, and look, and all things will be clean to you. And then you begin to realize what I'm trying to teach you, that you won't judge people so quickly. Okay, any questions? Any thoughts on that? Have you heard this before? I just learned it last week. You know, God's word is boundless, so many new things. But you know, that's what Jesus said to the Pharisees in the whole area of giving. And we can clean up, you know, one way of, well, according to what Jesus has said, one way of asking God to help us in our inside to be pure and clean is actually to practice giving. Okay, any questions? And so we need to look at what we're giving, and we'll talk about that, all right? Any questions? Any questions? Food for thought? All right, let's move on, okay? Number 6, when we give, we are lending to the Lord. Proverbs 19, verse 17 says, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay again. Okay? So when we give, we are lending to the Lord. Every time we give to the poor, every time we look at someone who has a need, and we give, you know what God says? Hey, you're lending to me. And guess what? I'm going to pay you back. And when God pay you back, you cannot. You need more than a bank. You need, because God's repayment is absolutely above a hundredfold, the Bible tells us. Okay? The next point, verse 7, next principle, it is always better to give than to receive. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, we read it before. Paul says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, you'll be happier if you give. That's what Jesus said. You'll be happier if you give, not when you receive. It doesn't mean, therefore, we have this mentality, I'm not going to give because I'm going to... It's more blessed for you to give, right? So I want to make you happy, so I just receive. Not, our thinking must be, all of us... You see, I've learned one principle. If everyone is practicing this principle, then everyone is blessed. Amen? Both the blessing of giving and also, you know, it's also humbling to receive. Because some people don't want to receive. It's humility to receive. Jesus did receive cups of cold water. He did receive the oil, the perfume from a lady. Remember? She didn't stop her from worshipping him. There's also, when one person gives, remember the person has a heart to give. When we receive, we are being blessed. So if everyone is giving and receiving, then the entire church is blessed. Amen? And that's something that we need to learn. Some can give more. Okay? Remember the principle, we can more blessings give than to receive. The other people, I may not have give more, but you know, I can work, I can pray for you, I can be an encouragement. There are other ways of giving, it's not just money. Alright? Let's be very clear. Giving doesn't just involve money. It involves time, it involves ourselves. After we talk about what do we give, okay? So it's more blessed to give than to receive, okay? So let's not have this thinking. I'm sure we don't, but I just want to make it clear. They'll say, okay, I want God to bless you, so come, give. All right, that's not the principle. The principle is whoever is teaching here, whoever is listening, everyone giving and receiving, and then everyone God will bless. Okay, any questions? All right, next one. What do we give? What do we give? Let's turn to a few verses. Brother Tae Leong, if you can take. Proverbs 23 and verse 26. Sir Elizabeth? Yeah, okay. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1. And then Joshua, if you can turn to... Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. And then Jacob, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Acts 4, we'll all turn together. Okay? I'll start with the first one, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. We read it before. What do we give? And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. You know, this verse tells us God's not just interested in money. Because money belongs to him anyway. But you know, the first thing, what do we give? The Bible says, according to the biblical pattern, we give ourselves. Oh, it's so important to give ourselves to the Lord. All right? What do we give? We give ourselves to the Lord. Any questions? Just pretty straightforward. What do you mean by giving ourselves? You know, the Bible, what is the great commandment in the law? What's the great commandment in the Old and the New Testament? The great commandment. Sorry? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. What are you doing? You're loving God with everything you have. You're giving yourself totally to God. You're setting yourselves apart for God. God, I am yours. We give ourselves to the Lord. Remember the principle of giving is, what's the definition of giving? Surrendering the property right. That means I'm giving this thing, it belongs to me. Okay, this is belongs to me. This is my property, but I'm giving it to someone else. Okay? So in the same way, when we actually say, God, I'm going to give you me, I'm saying, God, I'm surrendering the title deed to this property called Johnny Tan. And I'm going to put it into your account. It belongs to you. You know what that means? God has the right to use it however he wants to use. Okay? So number one, what do we give? We give ourselves to the Lord. Okay? Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son. It's interesting because Solomon is speaking to his own son in the literal interpretation. That's, my son, give me your heart. But I thought they had a relationship already. You know, you might be relationship by birth, but you know what? The heart still belongs to the individual. And here, Solomon is beseeching his son, my son, give me your heart. Because I can give you everything. Everything you have belongs to me. The only thing that doesn't belong to me is your heart. Right? Everything that our children have actually belongs to us. Because we work for it, we give it to our children, right? The only thing that is not ours is their hearts. Of course, their eyes and their... But you know, the heart of willingness of decision to give. You know, we need to give God our heart. What do we give? We give ourselves. Give our heart. Because our heart is the innermost being, the center of our person. You know what God says? My son, give me your heart. Give me your heart, okay? So the next one is in 1 Corinthians 6, 16, verse 1, right? In verse 2, sorry. Okay, so the third thing we give is our money, okay? So Paul actually instructed the churches, okay, the apostolic authority, hey, guys, I want you to collect, and so they're supposed to collect the money. And I think if you look at the whole trend of even the New Testament, giving is always of money, okay? Now, in some places, some people may not be able to give, but I say, I can help to... We were watching this Gladys Ellerwood. I think some of you may have watched it before. There's this old man, Chang, you know Chang? And Gladys Ellerwood, who is a missionary to China, was very concerned because the other lady has passed away, so they didn't have enough money to run the inn. And then Gladys Ellerwood was praying, and said, don't know how. And then Chang, this China man, and say, Miss Ellerwood, what did he say? She said, you don't have to pay me. I work for free, for God, you know? And it's so cute. His teeth is not there. But you know what? I work for free. I work for God. So he doesn't have money, but he was able to give other things as well, okay? But generally, here, God does command us to give of our financial resources as well, all right, to the support of the ministry. All right, ourselves, our heart, our money. And next one, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Okay, time is short. Agree? Time is very short. How many of us have 26 hours a day? We wish we had, right? So many things to do. We all have 24 hours. There was one time I was in the Philippines, and it was about 1 kilometer before the beach where we go to Siapa Islands, the 100 Islands. And there was one petrol kiosk that actually wrote, open 25 hours a day. I don't know why. Is it something that you're... do you see that often in your... Philippines, Petros, chaos. I took a photo, so I'm not lying. I have the evidence. Well, is it? Advertisement. Maybe it's just to attract attention. Open 25 hours. We wish we had an extra hour a day, right? An extra hour a day, everyone will spend on sleep. Okay, we need to rest. But, you know, the Bible says redeeming. The word redeem means to buy back the time. Every one of us have equal amount of time. God gave us a check for 24 hours a day. Every single one of us got a check. Every day when we start, 12 midnight, God says, I give you 24 hours. This check is for today. Every minute that runs is being taken away. You know, usually when it's redemption, right, we give you by a certain time, you must go and run and go and exchange for something. Yes? Okay? So here when Paul says redeeming the time, it means God has only given us 24 hours a day. Okay? Which means that we have to think, okay, first minute, second minute, third minute, fourth minute, quite stressful, I know, but let's, okay, maybe 1 hour, 2 hours. You know? After 1 hour, did I buy back anything with this 1 hour? Did I buy back anything with the second hour? Did I buy back anything with the third hour? That's what Paul is talking about. Buying back the time that God has given to us. Okay? Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Times are hard. We are very squeezed for time. And And the world is getting worse. The days are evil. Okay, that's the idea that Paul is bringing across. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So which means, we only have 24 hours a day. We know the days are evil. We know that God doesn't want us to be unwise. So what Paul says, know what God's will is for you, so that you can put to good use the 24 hours every day. How do we find God's will? From the Bible, from our duties that we know, right? And so, when we actually give God our time, we say, God, this is your will, and I'm giving it to you. I'm going to do this, because it's your will. I'm going to give my time to this. I could have done something else. I could have enjoyed it with my friends. I could have done other things, but God, I'm going to give it to you. All right? Any questions? Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Okay, here Paul encourages the Christian to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know what? We need to give our service as well. We need to give our service to the Lord. I think I shared with you before. We all have our duties in life. As parents, we take care of our children. That's your duty. All right? You don't even have to pray about it. As a father and mother, your job is to take care of your children. Okay? We don't have to pray about duties. We just have to do them. Okay? But we do have to pray, Lord. Then the next thing is, you know, on top of that, God says, I want you to be serving me, because God wants to add meaning. God wants to bless our lives, okay? And so, which means that as we work, there must be an area that God, I need to serve you in as well, because if we are just focusing on our duties, we may be very good at the duties, but we will not grow spiritually with regards to what God wants us to learn, okay? Many of us are very good in our duties, but then there will be no growing spiritually if we don't have a ministry. That's why Paul actually says, always abounding. The word always abounding means overflowing with the ministry of the Lord, okay? Abounding in the work of the Lord, serving in the ministry, doing something for God. Because God says, your labor will not be in vain in the Lord, okay? We need to give our service as well. But Brother Johnny, I can't do much. We thank God that God has given us a spiritual gift, right? Those who came on Friday, we can do something for the Lord. You can give your time in prayer. You can give. Next week, we'll talk about specific things. What do we give? But, you know, here, or rather, how do we give next week? But one of the things we need to give is our service. There are things that we can do for the Lord. Okay? And then one more thing. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. So we give ourselves, we give our heart, we give our money, we give our time, our service, and then we give our possessions. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. This was the response of a church who was united because they prayed in Acts chapter 4. They had power to preach. And look at verse 32. And the multitude of them that were believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. In other words, the entire church says, whatever I have doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God. Go ahead and use it if you need. That's why it means here. But he had all things common. Okay, this is not teaching communism. Okay, please be very clear. Okay, communism, things are forcefully taken away from you. Whereas the early church had a heart for everyone. All right, to the point that they look at verse number 34. Neither was there any of them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Okay, so in this situation, people actually sold their houses and lands. Okay, if God wants you to do that, you must be very sure it's God's will. Okay, in the early church, it's slightly different compared to today. All right, they don't have the government that makes sure everyone has a HDB flat. Okay, some of them, the rich poor gap is very, very wide. Some people don't have, they really don't have anything. Okay? And so when the rich people, saved by God's grace, say, hey, I need to provide. I don't have money, but you know, I got a house. I can sell that, change into money, and support these people. And that was what many of the early church people did, because of the love for God's people, and love for God's work. Okay? So that was the early church. Today, some people may do that, but you need to be very clear. Okay? This is a pattern. This is not a command to sell your house. Okay, or to sell your land, let's be very clear on that. But if God, I know of missionaries who, after God has called them, actually say, no, I don't need any more. I just go wherever God wants me to go. He sell their houses, sell their land. The money they have, they just go wherever God wants them to go. Okay, that is entirely up to them. But the principle in Acts chapter 4 is that whatever the church people had, they didn't lay claim to it, meaning that if anyone needs it, they're free to use. Okay, in the meantime, I will just be a manager of it. The thing will be in my house. If you need a bicycle, if you need a key, you need a, I don't need a key, sorry. You need a screwdriver, you need a toolbox. I have, you don't have, go ahead. I can. When do you need it? I'll bring over, that kind of thing. So when we have that understanding that even in this, God can actually be a blessing. God can use us as a blessing for someone else. Okay? So even our possessions belongs to God. We must be willing to. The key thing when I said, when we mentioned here, what do we give? We give it to the Lord. But if you look at the scriptures, the giving is always to men. Read carefully. In all the money that's given, in all the possessions that are given, in all the time that is given, in all the service that's given, is always to men. And that's something we have to understand. As much as you say, I'm giving it to God, it's not limited to, it is no spiritual bank that we put our things to. God always uses to help the practical lives, the practical ministries that happen. Does that make sense? For example, Brother Rolando may have a skill in plumbing and all that kind of thing. And so when he goes and helps someone, he's giving his time out of love for God and love for the brethren. He goes, God, my skill is for you. You need a, no. My skill is for God only. God doesn't need plumbers in heaven. Do you know what I mean? So which means that when we give God our plumbing skills or electrical skills, it's, Lord, I'm giving my skills to you. And what God is saying, there's a widow there that needs your help. There's a person there that needs your help. Yes, Lord, I'll just go and give my time, my service, knowing as I serve the brethren, I serve God. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And this is a very important principle which we have to understand. In all our giving, God commands us to give, not to bless Him. We are blessed by Him as we give. But it's just like when we give something to our children, the children say, I'm going to give it back to you, Papa. Say, I don't need it. I'm giving it to you. But you know what? When your children actually use it to bless someone else, you know, I don't know about you, I'll put a smile on my face because it's my children knows how to use that to be a blessing to someone. Look at Matthew 25 and verse number 40. The Bible says, so let's look at verse 34. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was stranger, you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then said the righteous answer, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, or come unto thee? The king shall answer and say, verily I say unto you, it as much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. What did Jesus say? You have done it to me. But Brother Johnny, this one is only in the context is in a 7-year tribulation period when the Jews are absolutely struggling to make ends meet, feed themselves. You know, in the 7-year tribulation, without the mark, they cannot buy or sell, right? So many of them will be without homes, many of them will be without food. But you know what Jesus says for those people who would help the Jews? God says, as much as you have done it to them, do it to me. If you extend that principle, John the Baptist teach that too. They who have two coats, give to those who have none. You know what Jesus will say here? As much as you have done it to the least of these brethren, Jesus says, you have done it to me. And in the area of giving as a church, remember when we give, we just be thankful that God uses us to be an instrument of blessing to someone else. That person can be blessed, but remember, rejoice, because when you give and bless that person, you know what you're doing? You're blessing God. And God will say, well done. Remember when Jesus taught the Pharisees, give, you clean up your heart. That's the very same principle. When we learn to give according to God's word, God begins to clean us up from the inside. Because you know what? God wants to take away self and put in the Savior. God wants to put away our pride and put other persons. So that the more we think about other persons, the more we will give, the more God will change us from within to be more and more like Christ. Okay? Any question? Any questions? All right, now, next week we will talk about how am I to give? How to give? We've talked about the principles of giving and what to give. Next week, how do we give? Okay, next week we'll talk about that and how do we give as a church. Any questions? Any questions? Everyone is very solemn. Either you are thinking through things or you don't agree. But it's okay. Over coffee, you can ask me questions, okay? So we can learn together. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we can learn of your word. Father, I pray as we humbly just ask you as a whole assembly to teach us to give. Lord, teach us to give as you give. Help us to love as you love. Help us to live our life as you live your life. The Lord will constantly be a blessing to someone else. For Lord, our life is not to be lived for ourselves. It's to be lived for someone else. Because you taught us in the Bible, Lord, in Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. Lord, you did not come to serve. Oh God, humble us with this thought. Lord, you as King of the universe did not come to earth to be served, but to serve and to surrender your entire life to be a ransom for many people. Teach us this principle of giving. Teach us this principle of transferring the title deed of our own lives so that we can bless someone else. And God, give us the grace when we give and people don't, help us to still give, because we are not comparing ourselves, Lord, with one another, but we are just being obedient to you. Oh God, teach us individually and as a whole to be more and more like you. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Once again, I pray for those who are sick. I ask you to strengthen them and raise them up quickly. And for the rest of us, we just fellowship and help us, Lord, to have a good time just understanding this lesson, that God, your name may be honored, even in ambassador. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have half an hour, okay, about there. All right, we'll come back at 11.